is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back in to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Our First Advantage hotline is 888-530-0043. If you guys want to weigh in on the latest conference realignment news, waiting to see what's going to happen with the Pac-12, what's going to happen specifically with the Colorado Buffaloes. What does this mean for the Mountain West Conference? What does this mean for Colorado State? We dabbled a little bit with it last week with Kevin. But, of course, this is just an ever-changing situation. We're waiting to see what's going to happen. Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And, Kevin, my man, I know you have been busting into all of this news because, really, what happens in the Pac-12 does have kind of an impact on CSU one way or the other.
Yeah, whatever is next for the Pac-12 is going to have ramifications for the Mountain West and Colorado State, kind of no matter what it is. If the Pac-12 is able to, you know, stabilize and, you know, keep Oregon and Washington and, you know, those four other schools that are reportedly talking Big 12, well, then the Pac-12 will probably come for the Mountain West and pick off a couple teams. Whereas, you know, if the reverse happens and, you know, a bunch of the Pac-12 teams, you know, go find new homes in the Big 12 or wherever else, well, then the Pac-12 might just dissolve and the Mountain West could, you know, pluck a couple leftovers, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, maybe a Cal, that type of thing. So one way or another, no matter what really happens with the Pac-12, I think it's going to impact the Mountain West.
Kevin, when we talk about this, you know, a lot of Rams fans will bring up winning percentages and, hey, here's why the Buffs shouldn't go anywhere, the Rams should go everywhere. We all know at this point it's about money, right? So anytime the conference looks at bringing in a new team, they have to essentially split some of that pie up. So they're thinking, can you bring enough money to justify any kind of a split? And when you look at the teams like you just mentioned, Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, those teams being in a Power 5 conference for a while now, don't you think that 1, 2, maybe even 3 would be able to add to that bottom line essentially in the Mountain West Conference?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wouldn't turn into, you know, the best conference in the country or anything, but those teams would, or schools would, enhance the Mountain West overall. You know, so yeah, you wouldn't be picking off the best of the Pac-12, but they're solid programs that have some history, some, you know, some name recognition. So it certainly would be a good addition for the Mountain West if you could keep what you have and then, yeah, maybe add a couple of those. That, you know, that would be a very solid conference and frankly the best conference in the West if that means the Pac-12 has just disappeared.
If the Pac-12's gone and let's just say perfect scenario, those teams you mentioned go into the conference, do we call the Mountain West a Power 5?
Well,
or Power 4?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sort of peripherally, and I could even see, you know, because there's some, you know, some of the, I guess, contractual stuff, if you will, with the college football playoff. You know, the Power 5s have, you know, the entrance into the playoff. So, you know, we're talking, you know, we're kind of jumping steps here, but if that happened, would you basically call the Mountain West the Pac-12 or Pac-whatever because they have the entrance into the college football playoff? I don't know. Like I say, that's jumping several steps, and we're kind of eliminating a lot of very big decisions in the middle there. But, you know, that could be in the mix. But either way, as far as, you know, fan, you know, view of it, yeah, I think it would be, you know, depending on what the other moves are, it would certainly be above the AAC. If the ACC is getting poached, you know, it could go above that as well. So, that, you know, it'd be a solid league for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing when you look at this. It's just so all over the place. It does feel, I think we've used the term, the Wild Wild West. Kevin, I wanted to pick your brain. You've covered college football for years now, everywhere. I know primarily you focus CSU Mountain West, but you dabble in all of it. You're all over the place with this. College football has always been bizarre to me growing up because, you know, you look at the pro sports and it's bam, this is what it is. You are the AFC. You are the AFC West. You have your playoffs. You win, you get in. That's how this thing works. Do you think that we would be better served, and I don't even know how you get to the details of this, but if you have some kind of college football czar that is like the Roger Goodell of the NCAA, I mean, I know Mark Hammer, whatever, but the conferences do whatever the hell they want. The colleges do whatever the hell they want. They're really, there's some regulation, sure, but for the most part, they can jump ship and all this. You know, Notre Dame isn't even in a conference. That's always been bizarre to me. Do you think that we start to see college lock down a little more, or are they looking at this going, we kind of like it? The top earners are going out and finding ways to earn more.
Yeah, I think we're going to just keep seeing the consolidation. I do think it seems to me like college football is going to break away from the NCAA.
Yeah.
You know, because right now the college football playoff is separate from the NCAA. So the NCAA doesn't even run its own championship in the sport.
Which is so
bizarre. Yeah, which is wild. So you've kind of already made the biggest move. And so now I think in due time, I don't know exactly what that timeline looks like, but I think we're going to see a near future where college football is under the CFP umbrella, you know, and the CFP runs it. But even if that happens, they're not going to be looking out for the little guy. I'm just going to say that, you know, the consolidation of power, I think, will just continue either way. So, you know, from that standpoint, I'm not sure much will change. But yeah, it is kind of funky how everything moves now. You know, unofficially, we know the TV, you know, partners are driving a lot of this. So that's where, you know, there kind of just is no regulation, no rules. It's sort of just, you know, everyone for themselves. That's why, you know, talk of all these alliances is kind of funny to me. I mean, you know, the Pac-12 obviously kind of had the alliance with the Big Ten, and then the Big Ten stabbed them right in the back. So
yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. All this talk of the Pac-12 and the ACC forming, you know, a loose agreement kind of just makes me chuckle. You know, it might be a life vest for each of them to hold on to right now. But as soon as one or the other, you know, has a chance to do something to better themselves, if it means, you know, drown the other one, they'll do it. They, you know, they don't care. So these loose alliances are pretty hilarious to me.
It reminds me of the WWF, man, or WWE, whatever. It's like, we formed an alliance, and then the dude turns his back, and it's like, no, Hulk slam. That's totally what I'm picturing right now with all of this college football stuff. It's just absolutely crazy. Now, this is what's nuts to me. Way down the road, or maybe not way down the road, if we ultimately do break away, or certain, if the SEC and the Big Ten break away and just become their own thing, and you have maybe, I don't know, 20 teams per, and they break up in divisions like you see in the NFL, and then they're playing for the college football playoff, do you see a world where it's those guys, then you have a college football playoff regime, and then there's just what we have now with the Mountain Wests of the world and such, where it's they're playing in the bowl season again? We kind of go back to that. Do you see any kind of almost separation where it's college football playoff division, and then there's the rest of the conferences that stayed alive? They're just in the FBS, and then obviously down the line it goes. Do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I've kind of batted around in my head for a while, and I don't think so, certainly not immediately, but I could see it where, like you say, you know, the way it's going right now, it looks like you're going to have a big three. You're going to have the Big Ten and SEC are going to be the real big dogs, and then Big 12 will be third, but they'll be big enough that the SEC and Big Ten would probably let them play ball. So, yeah, I could see them, you know, being, like you say, the CFP division or whatever, and they play for their own championship. And then you get, you know, the Mountain West, the AAC, you know, and kind of whatever's left play in, you know, FBS and play for their own championship there, and you still have your FCS. I don't necessarily think or guarantee it's going to happen, but I could see a path to it, certainly.
Well, and I think we talked about this last week, that all the stuff we're discussing, it doesn't hurt if CSU just says, you know what, screw everything else, let's go out and win football games. Because at the end of the day, we're talking money and all that stuff, but if you can put together a strong resume, if nothing is decided before the start of the season with the rest of this, maybe we take a pause from it for a moment. Having a winning record and generating some popularity, if you can start filling up Canvas Stadium a little bit, compared to your connection with Denver, you could really start to build up a resume. So, I mean, if you're CSU, it's like, no matter what Craig Thompson does with the Mountain West, we have to put together a positive season and start getting people excited about this program. And they certainly are. They're certainly working on that.
Yep, 100%. I mean, I've said this for CSU. If you're CSU, you want this to go as slow as possible, which I don't think is likely, but you want to be able to start putting some proof together that you have fixed football because, yeah, we all, you know, locally, I think we all agree it's going in the right direction, will become good. But, you know, if you're a Pac-12 that's looking to expand, you want something beyond, you know, hopes and dreams. You want some tangible proof. So yeah, for CSU, the slower it goes is probably the better so they can put some proof out there because, you know, to be real, Frank, CSU has been passed by a lot of programs. You know, in 2016, the Rams were right in the mix for the Big 12, you know, before the Big 12 decided to not expand. And in the time since then, CSU is basically irrelevant. I mean, you have to search really, really hard to find them mentioned in any national coverage of, you know, potential expansion candidates, you know, for whether it's the Big 12 or Pac-12.
Yeah, it was hot and heavy there for a while, wasn't it? Okay, Kevin, I loved your write-up to kind of going through different scenarios, and most of them, you know, you just jump right in there. We're all talking about them. You kind of threw out one of these crazy ideas, which I love it. I think it's interesting. You talk about Gonzaga perhaps playing a role on the basketball side of things. Talk to us a little bit about that theory. You don't have to give us the full details because I want everybody to go read that.
Yep, this is my crazy theory that I've sort of had for quite a while, is if the Mountain West can kind of keep itself together the way it is and try and make a raid for Gonzaga and St. Mary's, bring them in the Mountain West, if you keep the league as it is and add those two teams, you have one heck of a basketball conference. And yeah, I know, you know, the money is all around football, but I would think the TV execs would be pretty excited for a basketball deal with that league, and you could maybe boost the bottom line of everyone. Obviously, there are a lot of hurdles. You know, as of right now, I'm not sure there's any reason for Gonzaga to leave because they keep getting number one seeds in the West Coast, so I'm not sure they need to go. But man, especially if, you know, if the Pac-12 were to dissolve and all of a sudden you could say, like, hey, let's make this by far the premier conference in the West, you know, maybe you could sell that. Like I say, it's a little bit off the wall, but there are some reasons you could think it could happen. You know, it was just a few years ago that it looked like Gonzaga was about to join the Mountain West. So they've had conversations before, and it could happen again. And holy cow, how fun would it be to have Gonzaga, St. Mary's, San Diego State, you know, New Mexico, Colorado State, UNLV. How fun a basketball league, men's basketball league, would that be?
Yeah, it'd be a blast. And I love that outside-of-the-box thinking, Kevin. That's the kind of thinking that's going to get us out of this weird mess that we're in when it comes to college sports.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, you know, 2 weeks ago would have sounded insane. So take whatever you've always thought as impossible and couldn't happen, and throw it away and put everything on the table because that's where we're at now.
Kevin, my last one, it's a CU question. I know you threw up in your mouth a little bit there. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will CU end up in the Big 12?
I'm leaning that way. I think most CU people basically haven't enjoyed the move to the Pac-12, both on-field success and, you know, frankly, the money hasn't probably been what they expected. So I think that's where it's going. I think CU people would be on board for that, but Pac-12 obviously is making a push right now to try and keep the band together, but I'm leaning toward yes, you know, 60-40, I guess I'll go right now with CU to the Big 12.
That's interesting because our poll results right now are 57-42, so that's pretty good, Kevin.
Dang.
We had our boy Cody Tucker, you know him well, covering in Wyoming for 72-20. I like what he had to say because I'm like, what do you do if you're a Wyoming fan right now? Because the idea of moving conferences or whatever, that's not real. And Cody's just like, dude, Wyoming fans, they just hope that somehow, some way, no matter what, CSU and Wyoming stay together. So even though Wyoming hates Fort Collins, they really love them deep down. I mean, isn't that true?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of CSU fans, you know, kind of chide CU saying, well, how dare you bail on us? But let's be real, CSU fans, I think, would bail on Wyoming in a heartbeat if the Pac-12 called. So that's where it all gets complicated. I mean, I think it's better for CSU and Wyoming to be playing each other every year and everything.
Yeah,
but,
I do too.
If the money calls, I think we know what CSU's answer would be.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just nuts. Kevin, love getting you on to break into this. See, we don't even need to have a season to talk for, you know, 25 minutes with you, man.
It's season, right?
Yeah. We have had so David Roddy news, Trey McBride stuff. Now this, we haven't even had to talk about, you know, an exciting Nico Medved-led basketball team or this new regime going on with Jay Norvell. That's, you know, we'll get to that. There's a lot going on, man.
August will be here soon enough.
Kevin, my man, we'll catch up with you soon. I know we got some stuff in the works with you guys again, so we'll be excited to get that and put something down on paper, and we'll be looking forward to August, man. August is going to be huge around here.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and 12:51 the time. Jade's saying, dude, take a break, man. You are running my clock out again. All right, we'll take a short break. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, the Method Flow Products. Poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. We'll see you end up in the Big 12. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. It's Thursday. We're having fun. Jades, turn it up.
Sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show. Hour one almost done here. Hour two coming up. We'll switch gears a bit. We'll talk some UNC Bears football with color commentator for the Bears, Aaron Rath. So I'm looking forward to that. Jades, this is where we get to Jades Fades. You don't like that idea. Jades Spades. Jades something. We're coming up with it. A little factoid of the day. What do you got for me, man? Entertain me. I'm in a little bit of a lull, so... Not really. We have a lot of crap to talk about, but these are always so much fun for me. What do you got? You always find
so
crazy stuff.
Today's a fun one. I don't know if you know, but in 1943, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers mm-hmm. had too many players that got drafted to World War II. Mm. So they combined teams to become the Steagles. And they went 5-4-1.
What year? 1943. Wow.
Yep. They went 5-4-1. It was the first time since the Eagles were founded in 33 that they'd ever been above 500.
Yeah, that's fascinating, man. Wow. That's kind of a crazy story. And again, football, well before it was the NFL, was rolling in the 40s. Nobody really got into it like then, right? Until we merged into the NFL into the late 50s or 60s or whatever that was.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was pretty interesting how, I mean, two teams that, I mean,
are kind of, not that they're in the same conference, but still, like, kind of a rival in a way,
yeah,
too, because of the history
historic.
There. Yeah, no doubt. Well done by you, Jades, as always. Second hour coming up today in the AFC West. We're going to talk about tight ends. Also, more on college football. The world of college football is just absolutely crazy. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Let's make a night you won't remember. I'll be the one you won't forget. Five minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It is Thursday, July 7th, 2022, on a wonderful afternoon, 5 minutes after the hour. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. All right, I got a lot of big news to get to today. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is out. We'll see you end up in the Big 12 again. We'll find out about that. I'm going to talk to Kevin Lytle. More on the Mountain West Conference side of things. What's CSU going to do? Probably stay in the Mountain West Conference, but will the Mountain West poach some of these Pac-12 teams? Boy, Oregon State sounds attractive, doesn't it, to the Mountain West Conference? All right, you guys know I became a hockey guy. Everybody knows this. I transformed overnight.
That's right.
All it took was the Avs to do something to really entertain me, and boy, did I have a great time doing that with these playoffs, and then seeing the Avs go all the way into winning the Stanley Cup. But our preps guy, the man, the myth, the legend, Clark Numbers Johnson. You know more hockey than most people that I hang out with.
Yeah, I've been watching hockey since, I mean, I grew up in California and was a Kings fan before they were ever anything. We'd go in 68, Marcel Dion, Butch Goring, Rogie Vachon, all the old names. But I got to see Gretzky. When Gretzky came to L.A.,
oh, wow.
I mean, that was right in the midst of what I was watching. That's when everybody and their mother in L.A. said, oh, I'm a hockey fan.
Started to get into the hockey side of things. Clark, of course, one of the hosts of Clark and the Coach. You hear it every weekday. 11 to noon. I absolutely love that show. I love what you guys are doing with that program. It's primarily a preps show, but I like the fact that you guys will talk about this big trade today by the Colorado Avalanche.
Sure, absolutely.
The Rockies' 4 million game playoffless streak coming up. All of those things I thoroughly enjoy. You and Bruce do a fantastic job.
Thank you, man. And in front of you guys after Good Morning NoCo, it's a great spot for us. I mean, we all the fans out of Good Morning NoCo kind of hanging around. And then, of course, they're building up the momentum for the whole show coming up. So,
well, we do have some big news. And, we'll talk about the good, the bad, the ugly later, Jades. We'll get to it. Jades came in. We always do the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, Banking Made Simple. And, you know, You have a situation where Jades is like, is this bad? The Avalanche, we just got this news moments ago. The Avalanche trade for goaltender Alexander Georgiev from the Rangers.
Sure.
Pretty good. Got it right?
Well, yeah, I think you get the name right.
Georgiev.
You call it whatever you want. Till I hear it from Mosier, I'm not going anywhere else.
You're exactly right. Mosier's the man when it comes to all of this stuff. Why can't they just have a name like, yeah, I know, I'm not trying to knock any of their countries, but like Smith. That's easy,
right?
For me. I'm not a great pronunciation guy, Clark.
If you're a play-by-play guy, hockey is probably the sport you don't want to go to. So many European guys in there.
I would totally just be like, Alexander G. gets the big save. All right, so Clark, tell me just right off the bat, I want to get into this with you. Who's better, Darcy Kemper or Georgiev?
Well, I don't know, because he has sat behind Shesterkin, who's going to win the Vezina this year.
Okay.
Best goaltender in the league. I mean, Vasilevskiy, everybody says the best in the league, and he probably is, but Shesterkin had a terrific year for the Rangers, so he's going to win the Cup. So what are we doing here? It sounds like Kemper's going to go free agent.
Probably.
Is there something that these guys, and don't ever put it past Joe Sakic and the Avalanche to sneak one by you. Do we know more about this cat who backed up Shesterkin last year for the Rangers? Could he be the number one, or are we still searching for number one? Will it be Pablo Francouz? Will Frankie be the one, or will these guys share it? Or are we still looking for a number one, or is this cat that's coming here from New York, is he something special? Let's find out.
So that can mean a lot of different things then, right? That could be the fact that maybe they like Frankie and they want to keep both guys,
sure.
But then you're kind of in that same position you were in the playoffs, where I think the comparison was made, Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater.
That's right.
Professionals, starters, okay, maybe, but you piece them together and you found a way to win a cup, but Joe Sakic would much rather not have to make, you know, franchise-changing decisions in game threes of playoff series. He wants to have the guy. He's 26 years old.
Sure.
What does that, you know, 26 is always that interesting thing.
It's
young, but it's also heading
age.
Into old, if you look at it. So could he be the guy, or does this mean the end of Frankie, and we look at Georgiev as more of a backup guy, and then you're still looking for your starting goalie, your main goalie?
I'm not sure yet of this, and that's ignorance, because I don't know how good this cat is coming in. So, I mean, you sit behind the best, you know, the goaltender that's going to win the Vezina Trophy for the best goaltender in the league, and nobody's looking at you. So what's the situation there for them? And we'll see exactly what that looks like for the Avs, but I don't know. In Frankie, I mean, Pablo Francouz, it's been a situation where he's injured quite frequently.
Yeah.
Is that a guy you can go with? But do you need it? I mean, most of the teams in the NHL, I mean, 90% of them, you've got to have that great goaltender. The Avs, I think that I can say of all the hockey I've watched in 50 years, this is the best offensive team I've ever seen. Do you need the A goaltender? Can you get by with a B guy?
With two, with a
like
C plus and a B minus?
Year. Yeah.
Well, and the other question is you have Nazem Kadri, and we kind of said it's either going to be Darcy Kemper or Kadri.
Yep.
To me, Kadri was going to be, he was getting what, about $4.5 million? He was going to, he's a Stanley Cup champ. So is that number go up to, does that base salary go up to 6.5 to 7? Well, they got Georgiev for, it looks like he was restricted free agent. They picked up the option, whatever, 2.6?
Yeah.
So half.
A bargain.
Maybe more than half of what you were getting. So does this set the table for Kadri to come back? Or is Joe Sakic essentially looking for still that guy?
Yeah,
that can be the
guy. This was a question I had too. Could you keep Kadri and Nichushkin, the choo-choo train? Could you keep both of those guys in the mix here? Because Nichushkin's going, I think, from $2 million to probably $5 million.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to escalate him. He had an unbelievable playoff series. So yeah, I think you keep Val. I think that was one of the first on their list is to keep him. But boy, if you can keep Kadri too, and I love the fact Kadri is terrific. He's the Lemieux. He's the guy you hate it on the other teams, but love him on your team. And he showed in the parade, man. He's one of the most loved Avs right now.
Everybody
he's
loves
Nazem Kadri.
Well, and to your point, saying, all right, this is such a unique team that maybe the Avs don't need to have the A-plus goalkeeper. So then that would go back to saying, we need Kadri then. We need to make this move feel good for Avalanche fans, because I don't know that a lot of Avs fans are sitting here going, Georgiev's the guy. That was an upgrade over Darcy Kemper. We saw Darcy. He was, would you say, like, through the regular season, he was good. Not great, but good.
I completely agree.
Playoffs, maybe more dipping into the average to good territory, depending on the night?
Yeah, I just think that they didn't win this. You can't say the Avs sat there and won this cup in the Nets.
No, it was...
You can't say that.
When they won their game, I mean, would they lose four games?
Right.
The games that they
16
won...
16-4 in a postseason.
Primarily, their defense was just... And I learned that what defense really means in hockey, it just means keeping the puck out, keeping it away from the goalie, and the Avs, you know, for all of their offensive prowess, they were doing the defensive side of it very well, especially in those playoffs. You saw Nathan MacKinnon kind of transform
Absolutely.
A little more from just being the lightning rod, the scorer, to let's get the puck out, clear the hell out of here. I mean, you saw that more in the playoffs, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, and I think we all looked at this and go, okay, this is the best offense in the history of the game. But you're right. In front of that goaltender, the Avs pick in every big game in the playoffs, the Avs defense shut the Lightning down, shut everybody down.
Can you
they
do
went
it again?
16-4.
Can you do it again?
Absolutely.
You and I have talked hockey
Absolutely
a lot, and you've always said, you know, but you even admitted, even with this Avs team, it's different. You've always said, it always comes down to who has that hot goalie.
Well,
but the Avs taught us that doesn't matter, because I don't think anybody necessarily, I don't think at any point in these playoffs we said Darcy and Frankie are the hot goalie comparatively to the rest of the goalies in the playoffs.
Well, if you listen to the announcers on ESPN and TNT throughout the playoffs, they stated a number of times, I mean, Andrei Vasilevsky is the best goaltender that I've seen in a number of years in the NHL, and the Avs made him look kind of bad.
Kind of pedestrian, right?
Yeah, kind of pedestrian.
I mean, he certainly had his moments where he's standing on his head, but there's only so much. You saw the opposite with them, right? I mean, you have a great goalie, but they could not keep the puck away. So the more shots, the merrier. I mean, it's just math at that point, Clark.
I love the fact that you're a hockey guy now.
You
just said standing on his head.
People,
that's a hockey guy's comment.
People see me in the streets now,
right,
and they're
now
like, hey.
Hockey guy.
It's the hockey guy.
And
I'm like, well, you know, I don't sign autographs or anything, but I'm going to get there. No, it was a lot of fun, though. And,
yeah,
and
no
again,
question about it.
These are interesting moves. I thought, and just to go into a deeper discussion on the Avs, I thought Joe Sakic, when he decided to stick with Darcy in those final games in the final, that to me perhaps, and again, it didn't. I said it doesn't matter if Darcy's with this team or not. The decision is perhaps the decision was something where the dynasty hinged upon that decision.
Sure,
and because of that move, it was huge for Bednar, I should say, to stick with him. And then for Sakic to say, okay, that guy was the goalie, got it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. No, we're not going to go that route. We think we can get cheaper. and maybe the same goalie so that we can bring Kadri back. I mean, it could be a huge move.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you know, Darcy was, as we said, he was great in the playoffs, but sounds like he's going to be up in free agency now. So, you know, so much to him. So, and that tells me all I need to know about where the priority is for the Avalanche. Is it in net? I don't think it is.
Which weird, is, isn't it?
How weird for me to say that when I know that in sports, the single most important position is a goaltender in the National Hockey League. The Avs are just an outlier as far as that goes.
Which is funny when we make the, because I've done this a lot. I like to compare. I like to do poll questions. We have a good one fired up today. You know, when you have three titles now, you sure compare who was the better title winner of those three teams. With the Avs in their first two Stanley Cups, they had everything. They had the top goalie. They had the top scorer. Joe Sakic was phenomenal.
You
mentioned all Peter Forsberg, all these phenomenal. Rob Blake coming in 2001. Ray Bourque.
You
had all of these amazing players. So, I mean, this group is great and fantastic, but they didn't have the goalie. That's the one thing. You have Patrick Waugh. So it's hard for me. I look at it and say, this Avs team's completely different as far as the way they were constructed.
Yeah, in the postseason, nobody was ever better than Patrick Waugh was. I mean, and if he lost again, Vasilevsky had a great, I think it was 17-1 after losses in a big period this year, but that's the one thing I remember about Patrick Waugh. If he lost a playoff game, you could bet the mortgage in the next one he was going to come back and win the game for you.
All right, Clark, so today we don't know what's going to happen. There's still stuff in the works. We'll see, is this the final stop for goalkeeper? We'll find out. Does this mean they're clearing some space, they're clearing the way for Kadri? Just right now, 18 minutes after 12 o'clock on the 7th day of July, did the Avs get better or worse today?
The Avs got better today, I think. There's no doubt about it. Maybe marginally better, but I don't know that they're done looking.
Because you think the prospect is the prospect of G-Money, Georgiev, is better than what we saw with Darcy Kuemper. The prospect of him being able
to really
take
to be. I mean, this is a guy that's been hidden below the Vezina Trophy winner for the season. So I think this is somebody that I think Sakic is so smart. I think he's done his homework on this kid, and he's going to 26-year-old kid. He's going to come in and maybe surprise us all. Maybe ends up being the one, and maybe in 3 or 4 years we're thinking, hey, G Money.
Yeah,
that's our guy.
Alex G Money. That's what we're going to just call
that's
him.
That's the Brady Hull stamp of approval out there, folks.
G Money, we're going with it. What are some other hockey terms I can use to make me sound smart?
Dumping the puck in.
Right, Jay, good idea book. Put that in the good idea book.
Write these down.
Dumping the puck in.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to get to know all of these things. You know,
I'm going to watch.
Right point. You know, I tell you what, though, because a couple years ago, you used to laugh and say how little you knew about hockey, but... Well, it's you are the man now.
Well, I used to be more of a hockey guy. Doesn't mean I knew what I was watching when I was a kid and stuff. I mean, 96.
You know what icing is now, though, right?
Oh, kind of. Yes, I do know what icing is. We finally learned that through. Well, actually, kind of throughout the regular season, more so. So I'm learning, Clark. I'm getting there.
Absolutely. And there's nothing better. I'm not going to get you to say this yet because you're an NBA guy. You're a Nuggets guy. So you still say the best if you're going to sit and watch a playoff series. You'd be watching the Nuggets playoff basketball rather than the Avalanche. You know, I still think the very best drama in the history of sports is the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I remember one time years ago, you told me this, and it always sticks out in my brain because you acted it out. You said, and I'll just try to describe this as best as I can. Clark said, when I watch baseball, I'm like this. I'm looking around. I'm talking. I'm looking at my phone. Sure. And there's a pigeon in the air. When I watch football, I'm kind of more focused, but I can blink a little bit. I take a sip of my beer. When I watch hockey, I'm leaned in. I don't blink until there is a stoppage,
absolutely,
until there's a puck stoppage of some sort. And I just remember every time I watched hockey, and a score would happen because I'm looking at the ceiling. And I'm like, what just happened? We went 7 minutes with no score, and now it's 3-2.
That's right. And I always bring it back to the fact that I've brought, I think, three different women on dates to hockey games.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, you don't talk much at all to me during. And I'm like, that. I'm focused. I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm watching every single point of that game. So, yeah, to me. And, folks, I tell you what. For all of you folks out there that haven't been live to an Avalanche game, go sit in on one, and you're going to become a hockey fan. You got to go live. TV so much better now with the, you know, with the high def and all that good stuff. But go live to a game, you become a hockey fan right there.
Texter from Greg. Good afternoon, Brady. And Clark, Greg from Greeley Country Club, as in Country Club here, gotcha. Funny you would mention the LA Kings, as I used to live across the street from Bridge, going and practice on the same ice that they did in Culver City when I played ice hockey
as
a kid.
How about that?
Whiting, is that right?
Whiting. Yep, absolutely. God, that's going back. I mean, that's even before the Butch Goring days, of course. But
Whiting,
how about that?
I remember them playing Pittsburgh Penguins, and their goalie didn't wear a mask then. Very attractive man.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like a dartboard or something like that.
Go back and check out some old hockey. How do the goalies play without?
Oh,
and then they came up with just
still
the
don't
mask,
really have
which
much.
Could still kill you.
Yeah. Like, why don't they lower that a little bit so it covers their mouth? Is
Gump
it just too much
Worsley,
steam?
There's a name for you. Yeah. Go back and look. Hockey's come a long way with that. And then when I started watching hockey, nobody wore a helmet.
Did they even have ice skates when you started watching hockey?
Yeah, well,
they were just skating around.
It wasn't broom ball. They did have skates. But no, I mean, hockey's come a million miles, but that's a great text. That's good stuff. I was a Kings fan, as I said, growing up forever. So the Triple Crown line, remember that one? That was Marcel Dion, Butch Goring, Dave Taylor. Oh, doctor.
Yeah. Those were the days. Clark, John, you can hear him. You hear him every single day now. A couple months ago, we put this show together, Clark and the Coach. It is fantastic. You hear coaches from all over the state, players from all over the state. And don't look now, but we're going to flip over that calendar to August soon,
yep.
And it's going to be high school football season.
Yeah, 13 days, 13 teams coming up here shortly, so get with 13 teams in a row, 13 weekdays
training
in a row.
Training camp coverage.
I mean, this
is amazing. It's like Broncos,
yep.
But you are delving into each team, 13 teams, and if your team doesn't get in it, be better next year.
That's
all I have to say. Be better. I'm sorry. Or, you know. Hook us up with the
sponsorship. Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Thank you so much. And you know how much I love to talk hockey, so anytime I can sit in here.
We 23 minutes now. I don't even have to do anything.
Shoot,
this show can carry itself at this point. Clark Johnson, you do a great job, my friend. Thank you for coming in. Clark's saying it. We've got the record showing. He says the Avs got a little bit better today.
I think so. Yep.
All right. Clark Johnson, everybody. Listen to his show with Bruce Dick tomorrow, Friday morning at 11 o'clock. My man, we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, Brady.
All right, 23 minutes after the hour. Jades, we'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Also, the NCAA, all of this stuff we're going to break into. I think the NCAA is full of hypocrites. They don't like NIL deals. They don't like transfer portal situations. Yet they're all jumping ship, and they promote that because of the money. But the kids touch it. The 18 to 25-year-olds touch it. Stay the hell away. We'll talk about that. Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and all that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're getting right into the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Although it didn't result in a W last night for the Rockies, you did see something that was maybe something the Rocks can use down the road. Jose Ureña played a pretty solid game. He pitched just over six innings, allowed five hits, only one earned run at two strikeouts. The Rockies are really happy with that. We'll see kind of how he fits into the rotation as we progress in the month of July. But, you know, his teammates were pumped on the side. Once he goes, once he leaves and he's pulled out of the game, he was well received. His teammates were loving it. So we'll see if there's more of that to come. Let's get to the bad. On that note, the Rockies do get swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers. They lose last night 2-1. The Rocks, Jades, do you know how many runs? They had one run, right? They had one hit. And 300 guys were actually hit. So that's how they got a run. Chris Bryant on a wacky play gets in, but the Rocks do lose this thing 2-1. And it was pretty scary there when Daniel Bard is in. The bases are loaded. I think they had no outs. It was only a matter of time. They could have probably scored 20 runs, and I would have had that over. But they unfortunately ended the game because it was the bottom of the ninth. And then you know how baseball is. The ugly for me. We're continuing on with college football realignment, conference realignment. And I just got to say this. You heard Mark Emmert and all these guys come out coaches so upset and perturbed by transfer portals and NIL? And are they perfect? No. They need to be a little bit more regulated. Could have done that 20 years ago, but instead we waited until the Supreme Court ruled not having some kind of NIL deal in place is unconstitutional. So we waited. Yet the NCAA breeds this. They breed it. Coaches, if you're not happy, go somewhere else, make way more money. You can leave whenever. You don't even have to finish the bowl game. But if Christian McCaffrey's hurt and can't play for Stanford in their bowl game, he is not a team player. Now we have teams. When the going gets tough, the tough get out of Dodge. And we're breeding that in the NCAA. Greed is part of the NCAA. Yet when an 18 to 25-year-old player wants to make some money off of signing an autograph or on their image or doing a radio show like the Clay Millen Show, shameless plug, they get crucified for it. And I just, it's ugly. It's an ugly business that's very entertaining. I love college football, but the business of it sometimes can be very frustrating, and that's certainly where we are right now. 31 minutes after the hour, I've got Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. What does the future of the Mountain West look like? Colorado State, Pac-12 teams. I mean, are we going to see some Pac-12 teams come over? What's that going to look like? You know what it feels like? Mountain West, Pac-12. You remember in the office when the other branch thought that they were going to absorb Scranton's branch, and then the manager left, so then it was the other way around. They ended up having to go to Scranton instead. That's what it reminds me of. An office line there. If you're not an office fan, then I don't know who you are. 32 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.